You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. On a Monday, we continue. I'm joined by the head chef himself, Kim Holmes, and we've laid out kind of a timeline for Thanksgiving. And now what we need to do is we need to talk about side dishes and when you need to start preparing those. So, Kim, let's us go back to the menu and talk about what side dishes are we going to make.
Well, I think I'm just going to go over what my favorites are. Everybody has their own favorites, but, of course, it's the stuffing, and I go just a straight traditional stuffing. Then there's, I also like peas and pearl onions in a cream sauce. I like green bean casserole. I like mashed potatoes. I like, you can do different stuffings, cornbread or cornbread and sausage stuffings if you want. But I'm just sticking with the regular one. Sweet potatoes that are whipped, mashed potatoes that are whipped, and I love making my own cranberry sauce. It's so easy to get fresh cranberries, and I think, I mean, that's a paramount side dish, is the cranberry sauce. That can be made 4 days ahead and put in the fridge.
Okay. All right. So let's talk about what we're going to make first. And we don't need to go into the details of the recipes because we're still working on
the time. No, I'm not going to.
Okay. So what do we make? What's easy and what dishes are irrelevant in terms of how long they sit?
Well, you can make I said the cranberry sauce. You've already made your desserts. The day before, you take fried.
No. We're talking now. We're working from Monday, and we're working on side dishes. So starting on Monday, we can do desserts, and we can do cranberry. What else can we?
You do the cranberry relish. You do the desserts. That's about it on Monday.
Okay. Tuesday.
Tuesday. Tuesday you do the, side dishes, which would include, the peas and pearl onions.
Okay.
That can be totally prepared and put in the refrigerator, ready to heat up. You can do the candied sweet potatoes or yams, I whip them.
Okay.
But, and that can be done on Tuesday. And the casserole, like the green bean casserole, that can be done on Tuesday. And you just cover them and you put them in the refrigerator tightly sealed. Ready to bake off on Thursday. We're just going to be shoving things in the oven and pulling them out. And that's how we roll.
So if you can imagine, everybody, I mean, your menu becomes a scorecard. Okay.
Yeah.
And so the on the far left column is the item. The next column is the day that you're going to begin to take action on it. And the next column is what you're going to do. And so really when you line it up like that, you can see how you begin knocking these things out. And it's not real difficult to do in terms of keeping track of them.
Keeping
track of them. And then, as Kim said, on Sunday, on Thursday, then it's simply a question of, and you have that mapped out too, because you only have so many ovens to deal with, right? And so you've got all these dishes, and you got to manage that space, knowing that the turkey's gonna be in one of them, and then how you do it. I would tell you that one of the reasons that, you know, I believe in letting the turkey sit, because you do need that 30 minutes to stuff if there's additional dressings that you have that you want to slide into the oven and then throw them on the table. That 30 minutes helps to get some of those other things ready. And also in that 30 minutes, you're probably messing with one of the most important components of Thanksgiving, and that is the gravy. So.
Yes.
Okay. So now let's talk about, of the things you've talked about, cranberries is pretty easy. And we can have you on. Cranberries pretty easy. The desserts, these are all family recipes that people make, you know.
Yes.
Right? So I want to spend a little bit of time with gravy because I think it's an art form, and it is, if the gravy's screwed up, the meal is screwed up.
That's right.
So tell me about how to make great gravy.
Okay. You take the giblets, the heart, the gizzard, the neck. You can do this the day before. Okay? And when you're brining the bird, you can put all these in a stock, a big saucepan, several quart saucepan. And you put whatever sea flavor you want, whether it's a rosemary or basil and salt and pepper, and you put that. I don't do anything except put all that in a saucepan. You bring it to a boil, and then it's got to have. I like a 6 quart saucepan, and then you reduce that and you bring it to a boil. And then you turn it down to medium heat so it's still bubbling around the side. It's not a wild boil. And you reduce that liquid by half. And then you take the neck, take all the meat out, and you take the meat off the turkey neck. And then you chop all of that together. You throw it back in this pan with the liquid, and bring it to a boil, then shut it off and refrigerate it. And there you have the basis for your turkey gravy. And if you're, when it comes times to cook the gravy, depending on how many people you have over, you might want to buy one of those low sodium, because they're monstrous amount of sodium in those chicken stocks that you can put in to stretch out what you're making. And what I like to do is a little bit of a sweet white wine, not much.
Ooh.
But you pull your bird out, so you place that roaster on the two burners on top of the oven or stove, and then you crank that up, and you you throw all the drippings are in there. You put all that. The chicken parts, if you don't like those chicken parts that are chopped up, just throw them in there, and then we're going to strain the gravy when it's all done. And so then you have a clear, dark gravy. Now, the drippings will darken the gravy. And you really want to thicken it. Now, you can thicken it with this very enriched flour called Wondra. But what I personally like to do is I like to make a roux, which is half butter, half flour. You cook that for about 15 minutes over medium to medium-low heat until you get a nutty aroma from the gravy. I mean, from the flour and butter. That's called a roux, R-O-U-X. And that you put in a little bit at a time and whip it furiously and until you get the desired thickness of your gravy. Or the easy way to do it is you take cornstarch and water and you make a slurry. That means you dissolve the cornstarch in the water, and then you, when you're ready to thicken it, you add this slurry slowly because you don't want to just dump it all in there because you don't know how thick the gravy is going to be. You want to make sure it's thick and clings to the bird and the potatoes and the dressing, but it's not just globbed on. And so you do that, and once you get the thickness you want, then you let that cook for about, the last 10 minutes, and then you shut it off, you strain it, and you put it in a saucepan, and then you have gravy boats or however you serve your gravy, but you have it in a saucepan on the stove so you can reheat it if it cools down. And that is how you make great gravy.
Now tell me about the function that brown sugar has in all of this.
Brown sugar?
Yes.
No, I didn't say brown sugar. I meant the roux gets brown the longer you stir it.
No, I know. I'm asking you about the function of brown sugar in gravy.
It darkens it and it sweetens it. But you make sure that you get a little subtle hit of the sweetness, but not, you don't want a real sweet gravy. You want the gravy to taste turkey flavor. So that'll give it a little bit of sweetness and a little base, but that's a matter of preference.
Okay. I'm a huge fan of it, by the way.
Yeah. Well, then you start out with a tablespoon.
Right. No.
And then maybe you're starting out with a half a cup.
Right. And let's talk about backup gravy now. Now, nobody likes to talk about this, but sometimes things go wrong. Okay. So we're going to talk about it because you can't have no gravy. It's just not acceptable. You can't do it. So talk about backup gravy. What do you do?
Well, you buy canned gravy or frozen gravy. I saw in the store in a cardboard carton yesterday when I was getting my chicken stock to take down to Bob's for our gravy. They had a turkey gravy, and I still think you have to thicken that, but it was dark in color, and I would bet anything that would be spectacular as a backup.
As a backup. And again, what happens is something happens, and either it burns or something incredible happens, and you have people over, and again, if you spend a little time and shop for turkey gravy, you can find, well-made turkey gravy that you can use. The caveat is that you can use in an emergency because you cannot regenerate it, right? It's the juice of the bird that makes it.
You have to have the turkey gravy, and you have to have enough turkey gravy, everybody.
Right.
There's nothing worse than say, we're out of gravy. Say what?
Yeah.
You have to have at least 2 to 3 quarts of gravy, or for me, because, I might not want a hot turkey sandwich that evening. That's usually reserved for a turkey sandwich. But the next day, you might want to do a hot turkey sandwich with leftover mashies or sweet potatoes and bread and turkey, and then load the gravy on it. So you make sure that you have tons of gravy. I insist upon it, folks. You'll thank me. Come Sunday or Saturday afternoon.
All right. Here's an email question for you. Hey, Mac. First of all, I love the idea of a menu with dates when we start and a timeline. So much pressure has always been on my wife. I'd love to kind of help out this year, and it sounds wonderful in terms of the cook being able to socialize more and slave in the kitchen less. Our issue is that we have relatively finite oven space. Are there other ways that we can go ahead and cook things? We are not fans of the microwave on Thanksgiving. Any suggestions?
I'm so happy you asked that. Here's my solution.
Okay.
And I know you have a microwave in your home. I never allowed a microwave in my restaurant. But then I had about four ovens to use. So it didn't matter for me. But you can, if you're going to put the stuffing after you mix it, and you have to let stuffing sit overnight. But that can be cooked off the day before, along with the casseroles. And then you refrigerate them, and then that morning you pull them out, and then you heat them up in the microwave oven one at a time, not to where they're bubbly, but where they're pretty warm inside. And then when you take the bird out of the oven to make your gravy on top of the oven, then you do that, and then you put the finish off all your side dishes. You put them all in the oven. Turn up the heat to about 400 degrees. If they're covered, uncover them, and let them go for the 20-30 minutes. Let them go for that length of time until you're ready to carve the bird. Now, with the mashed potatoes, you mix those on top of the stove before the gravy. You boil them. You pre-peel your potatoes the day before. And then you boil them, you drain them, you save about a quarter of a cup or so of the potato liquid when you're draining your potatoes, and then you mash them. And I use cream cheese and butter, salt, and pepper. That makes the perfect mashed potato. They're creamy. If you like lumps, then, which is very, very acceptable. But you mash them as much as you want to get them as smooth and fluffy as you want. And then you put them in a crock pot. It's plugged in. It's preheated to about, 80 degrees to 160 degrees at crock pot, and then you load up that crock pot with your mashed potatoes, and then you're done thinking about that. And then, so all you're worried about, and the peas and pearl onions, for example, that can be made a couple of days ahead. That can be thrown in the microwave or put in a saucepan, and you probably have about four burners, and then in the back, right or left, you put that saucepan, and you slowly heat that up. So if you don't want, and I get you on not using microwaves, but if you cooked it in the oven the day before, all your side dishes, then you just cool them down on the counter and then put them in the fridge, cover them tight, and then the next day you pull them out, about 2 hours, an hour before you're going to throw it in the oven, and then you start microwaving them. And then when the bird comes out, you throw those in to finish them off. And if, like, dressing, I love a crust on my dressing. And that's a good way to get the crust because you can cook it with the lid on or it covered. So it's moist inside. And then you keep that foil on when you cool it and refrigerate it, and then you throw it in the microwave without the foil on it or cover, and then put it in the oven to brown the top. That's a quick way. If you have limited oven space, you go ahead and use your microwave, but you're still cooking everything off initially in the oven. Does that answer his question, Annie?
I think so. Again, there's other things you can use. You know, there's those small little like countertop small ovens that you can use for some stuff. If it is an issue, give it some thought. And there's solutions out there because, you know, again, that's why it's so important to do what you can that needs to go into the oven before Thanksgiving Day. That way you're only heating up yada, yada, yada on Thanksgiving Day. So you can see the wisdom of preparation.
And one other thing. If you have a 20 to 24 pound, a monster, 16 to 24 pound bird, that takes up most of the oven. But if you have any way to have a rack at the top of your oven with the turkey underneath it so you can slide a couple of dishes in there at a time, then you start cooking those, like the dressing, for example, or the green bean casserole. You can cook them an hour ahead and then pull them out when they're done. If you have room in your oven, then that enables you to not have to use the microwave. But the key is to make everything ahead and then either cook them off and then heat them up in the microwave or put them in the fridge. And folks, when you put things in the fridge, you have to pull them out about an hour before, so they come up to temp, and they're not just ice cold when they're thrown in, because you're going to be disappointed because they're going to take too long to finish them off. Okay?
You know, I mean, it makes a lot of sense, you know, whether you're talking about grilling outdoors, getting the meat, the chicken, the fish to room temperature before you get after it. So the wisdom of that. And again, it's a busy day, and I mothers have done it for decades in the United States. How they've kept it all straight is absolutely positively beyond me. Since I met Kim, one of the things that he's taught me is, hey man, the cook deserves the party too. And with a little bit of preparation, you can make the day go a lot smoother, and it can be a lot more enjoyable for everybody. I look back as a kid, and my mom, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, she collapsed into a chair, and she was so happy, you know, that everybody had a wonderful time, because it is kind of for me anyway, in our family, it is sacred. The smell is sacred. You walk into the house, right, and that turkey smell.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, is, and my mom is a great cook. She would make cherry pies that day. She liked pumpkin pie, although I did not. So I would constantly badger her about making cherry and apple pie, which I loved that she made. And so it was.
Me too.
but it's a sacred kind of a day. So what Kim has taught me is that think about the cook and make some kind of a concession to helping out and doing things beforehand so that Thanksgiving Day is easy peasy. The turkey is cooking, the gravy's got to be made, but everything else is essentially done. And that stuff's just getting heated up. So that's really, to me, the art to it, so that you do have the same wonderful food and you have the same wonderful day, but the cook and the people that are out in the kitchen get a chance to enjoy it just as much as everybody else. And then everybody who didn't participate in the cooking participates in the cleaning. Right?
And 100%.
And if you do that, you put a little loud music on in the kitchen, you get people out there, you scrub the pots and pans, you got a lot of people drying for you. What would normally take a couple of hours will take you no time at all. And so...
It takes no time at all, and your mom is forbidden to go in and touch a dish.
Yeah, she's just going to sit there with her little after dinner drink and enjoy enjoy the whole lovely scene. So and that's how it should
sit
be.
Sit there and luxuriate on her successful day with the family. There you go.
And I'll tell you what. And one of the things you'll find if you do that is you get everybody out in the kitchen, and it turns into a pretty good little time out there with everybody pitching in. And a good time had by all out there. So we do that after the meal. The music goes on, and my kids look forward to it because the towel snapping starts, and the laughing, and the trash talking starts, and it's cool. It's Thanksgiving, so. Anyway, all right, anything, any final words before I let you go?
I just wish everybody a wonderful Thanksgiving next week. We'll be on next Friday, I think, to talk leftovers.
Maybe Wednesday. I don't know. We have to talk about that.
Well, we'll do that after Thanksgiving.
Okay, all right.
I don't care. We'll talk on the phone and figure that out.
Got it. All right, sir. First of all, thank you very much. Have a wonderful day.
And congratulations on Patrick coming home.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And if you're going to have a glorious time, and tonight at the ball, is that tonight, right?
Yeah,
or
tonight. Tonight at the ball.
Yeah.
Yep. No, excited about that. It's a wonderful night in Marine Corps. Pageantry and the history of and it's really cool when people go for the first time who have never seen it before. That's wonderful. And to be the guest speaker there is an incredible honor. So I hope I don't screw it up.
Yes. You won't. You kidding me?
We'll see. John told me, look, our guys talk for 77 minutes. Don't do that. I said, all right. I'm good for 10, maybe 15 at the most. He said, we can live with that. We can live with that.
Yeah. No 77 minutes.
No 77 minutes. Although I could do it. He said, I know
you could.
He said, I know
that's you. That's what John's afraid of.
He said, I know. I said, no, but I'd be funny. He said, I know you would be, but don't do it. I said, all right, I won't do it. But, no, I'm looking forward to Marine Medium Tilt Rotor Squadron 164 out of Camp Pendleton. So looking forward to it. So, Kim, thanks for the visit today. Have a great one.
You too. Take care, everyone.
There you have it. The one and only P. Kimble Holmes here on a Friday. We're going to check, I got a couple emails. We're going to update a couple stories. more of All Marine Radio coming up next right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.